So who said that politics is boring? It's been another eventful week for local politics here. Let's discuss with our studio guests, Alison Morris, security correspondent for the Irish News. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's been a busy week, hasn't it?
It has indeed. Yeah. It's been a busy new year. Let's face it, we came back, hit the ground running, didn't
we? I know, January's meant to be quiet.
No.
Also with us, we have commentator and former Ulster Unionist Director of Communications, Alex Kane. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Vinny.
You're looking well. Thanks for coming down.
I am very well. Always a delight. Rare to come into the studio. So
no need for the sarcasm, Alex, but okay, thanks anyway.
I hate coming out of bed this early morning.
The week started with the surprise resignation of Sinn Féin MP Barry McIlduff, of course, over his Kingsmill loaf video stunt on the anniversary of the massacre. And of course, it also ends with fresh talks announced yesterday by the new Secretary of State, Karen Bradley, as one final push to break the Stormont stalemate. And this with a deadline of February the 7th to reach an agreement. So basically, we have 2 weeks to save power sharing. So the question for you at home this morning is, do you think it should be saved? Do you think it should and can it be done? 03030 80 55 55 on the phones. Alison, how would you sum up the week we've just had?
It was quite a week. I think the resignation of Barry McIlduff was inevitable after the Alan Black interview that he did with RT on Sunday. I mean, anyone who listened to that couldn't have helped been moved by it. And I think Sinn Féin were obviously very damaged and stung by that, especially in the south, where they're trying to make electoral gains. I think it was inevitable at that stage that Barry McIlduff was going to go. But what we've seen since then, I think with the arrival of the new Secretary of State and this new round of talks, a lot of people are probably looking at this quite cynically because nothing much has changed. So we have the same political landscape exactly, and all we have is a new Secretary of State. And as far as anyone can see, that's the only thing that's changed. So whether or not it's going to be in any way more successful, I don't know. But it has been, as you said, it's definitely not been a boring week in politics.
Do you see this date of the 7th as an actual deadline or more? Is this a target? Because we're not very good at deadlines in Northern Ireland when it comes to politics.
I think Karen Bradley would need to be very careful with these movable deadlines because James Brokenshire left here known as the Secretary of State with the ever-moving deadlines. She did say, I think it was she would give a progress report to Parliament at that stage. So she's not actually saying it's a deadline. She's saying it's a time when she will report back on progress and say whether it's possible or not. So what we could find at that time, if she thinks the deal's close, she'll try and stretch it out another bit. But I think most people, even including the politicians who are involved in those negotiations, are losing patience with this.
Alex, Karen Bradley, she said she's confident, but we should, I would assume, expect her to say that she just started this new job. So are you confident? Or I know I've referred to you as a prophet of doom before, very maybe nastily on this programme. What do you think?
The trouble is, well, the first thing with Karen Bradley, I have no idea who she's talking to, because yesterday she's saying that everywhere she goes in Northern Ireland, her 4 or 5 days here, everywhere she goes, people are coming up to say, oh, get the executive up and running, everything that we wanted back. That's not the impression I've had for the past, not simply the past year, but for years. No one is telling me it needs to be up and running. So I think she starts with a bit of delusion there, Vinnie. But you're right, she couldn't turn around and say, well, actually, everyone's telling me you're all a waste of space and nothing's happening. She has to go through the pretend in all of this, partly because neither the British or Irish governments either singly or collectively want anything to do with this place. But if you're saying, A, is the 7th a deadline and can she achieve anything? No. Because I think she probably doesn't know.
Well, I don't think she is putting that as a deadline, as Alison has said. No, but people will perceive that.
No, but don't even put a date out. That's what I'm saying. Do not put dates out there.
But if you do that, then it just looks back to last year. And is that any better than putting deadlines that then disappear?
No, I would set them down. What she should have done immediately was say to the two, could you give me just a piece of paper on the areas in which you have agreement? In other words, if I was to kickstart the Assembly tomorrow with these two not resolved, could you actually make any movement on health, education, all the other stuff? Because I'm not convinced, Vinny, that when people say, oh, we've reached lots of agreement, because when you talk to them private and say, what have you actually reached agreement on? It's stuff they always had agreed on.
They won't tell us. We were told that they came very close to an agreement, but nobody knows how close they came and what the area that
around
was
November last year.
Yeah. And they didn't tell the other parties, the smaller parties. They haven't told anyone else outside their little inner circle. So we don't know how close or far away they are, if it isn't even completely possible in our lifetime, never mind within the deadline.
But no, when they say close, Alison, I think that what they mean by close is, if you say to most people, do you think that we should give some money to stop hospitalists being as long as they are? Of course, that's marked off in the dream. Do you think all children should get a good education? Yes. Do you think granny should be looked after? Well, yes. But actually, what about the following thing? No. And that's the problem. Where they agree on is what they've always agreed on, and what they don't agree on is mostly what they've never agreed on. And I cannot conceive of the circumstances, Vinnie, were they going to agree on them anytime soon?
Well, the smaller parties, this goes back to what you both said, they want full disclosure on what the DUP and Sinn Féin have been talking about for the past year. The SDLP leader, Colm Eastwood, said yesterday, this was after a meeting between his party and the Alliance and the UUP, progress and compromises supposedly made between the DUP and Sinn Féin must be shared and negotiations must proceed on that basis. And you might read that as an outsider and think, well, surely that's an obvious. When you're starting negotiations and talks regarding what it, regardless of what it's about, you need to know where everyone stands. We know a lot of the red lines, but these agreements, these partial we had in November, like, where is that and why don't we know?
Yeah, and they're not going to tell us, because they are going to keep all that in-house for now. And I think that what hasn't changed, regardless of the Secretary of State, and I did speak to people who met her when she was out and about yesterday and said she's a very different kettle of fish than James Brokenshire. Very warm, very friendly, very good with people. You know, he was quite standoffish and quite reserved. But that's not going to be the thing that's going to get this deal over the line. The problem is the DUP now don't particularly need the Assembly as such. Arlene Foster needs it, otherwise she's got no job. But the parliamentary team are in such a good position in Westminster. Nigel Dodds is very well got. He's very well respected among the Conservative Party. I think that they believe at this point in time, if there was direct rule ministers appointed, that they would have control over them and they would be able to control Northern Ireland through those ministers quite happily. Sinn Féin have been travelling around Northern Ireland having a series of meetings with their supporters and members, and the feedback that they say they're getting from that is that they're saying, no, don't go back unless we get everything we need. So therefore, I don't think either of them are under any pressure to make a deal.
I was just going to say, in terms of the smaller parties, Vinnie, because I heard all of them yesterday talking about the exit, they are very unclear what they themselves want, because they say, well, if we get a deal, if there's a deal, we'll then consider going into the executive. Well, what do you want to see in the deal? Oh, well, we want to see something we can all agree on. But what specifically? Ask Robin Swan, I think he was on yesterday.
Why are they also afraid to show their hand?
Because they have the for both the DUP, or for both the UUP and SDLP, and maybe even for Alliance, I think that this stage, the experiment with opposition ended so badly, which wasn't their fault, it's just everything kicked again. They have no idea what to do, and they're so small now, they've no profile outside the executive. What's Robin Swan going to do on the Irish language front page of today's newsletter? I think he's saying, I'm standing firm, we will not agree to a no Irish language. So
Act.
If that's the problem, is that a red line for the Old Students Party?
Well, yeah. We had Steve Aiken on yesterday and he said we don't have red lines, but at the same time you could look at that and interpret it in that exact way. 030 30 80 55 55. So can Stormont be saved? Do you think it can, and do you indeed think it should be? Brian, good morning to you.
Good morning, Vendy. But I have to apologise first and say I'm sorry for repeating myself even yesterday.
Well, repetition in politics here is not something that we do very often.
Well, what I'm saying is, like a merry-go-round, I'm sure your speakers, your guests would agree that there's not going to be an agreement unless both parties back off and go back on their word. And one of the main issues, we all know the Irish language. Would your speakers agree with me that the DUP is not going to go back on their word? I mean, on the Irish language. So, but what's the point of the meeting?
Alison?
I don't think the DUP can go back on that at this stage, because they've played hardball on that particular subject for so long. And also, we've seen there was a sort of united unionist anger around the Byron McElduff thing, and I think that they could see that if they were then to back down on something such as the Irish language, which should be very uncontroversial but has become very controversial, that they would be unable to sell that back to their voters, and they know that. And
it's the same then, surely, for Sinn Féin as well, in terms of their red lines. If they back down on the likes of rights and respect, equality, sorry, with gay rights, for example, you know, that's something that they, you know, surely their electorate would say, well, this is what you were standing by. Why did you fold?
Well, in terms of the gay rights and things they're getting, same-sex marriage, I think there's wriggle room there. If they reach some sort of agreement on the petition of concern, where the DUP would say, OK, well, we can deal with that inside the Assembly. In terms of the Irish Language Act, there was a moment, I think, back in August when Arlene Foster said, she came round to the idea of saying, look, we're not given a standalone. We would be destroyed. So even if we agreed it, you wouldn't have a deal, because we'd be destroyed. But can we maybe come up with something which incorporates a number of things? My understanding is that they couldn't get that off the ground.
And they could actually contribute a wee quick.
Very quickly, because I have Jim Allister and Kelly Armstrong waiting, and I don't want to upset either of them.
No, what I'm saying, I think if we get a yes or no answer from your contributors, far from the politicians. But would you say that what I've said, but a minute ago there, would you say it's a waste of time?
Alison?
I think they have to give it one last shot, because what are they going to say to people we're not even going to try, that we're done? So I think
sure, they've tried for the entire 2017.
They didn't really last year. Those talks had no structure to them. You know, they were going home at, you know, 4 and 5 o'clock every day and taking all weekend off. If you think back to the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement, this was people working 24 hours a day, you know, camped out, you know, sleeping on floors. So
slight really, difference then.
Yeah, it wasn't that kind of negotiation.
Alex?
My gut instinct, and it's been this for a year now, over a year, is that to all intents and purposes, the Good Friday Agreement and the purpose and hope behind it is dead. So I'm not expecting any breakthrough.
Okay, Brian, thanks for your call. Let's talk to Jim Allister, the TUV leader. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. The five main parties now involved in these talks. Do you think the addition of the extra three will make any difference?
No, because in terms of the question, is Stormont worth saving? Stormont in its present form most certainly is not worth saving, because its present construction, which has brought its destruction, in that it is created on a basis of mandatory coalition, which means two fundamental things. One, the people aren't allowed to change their government by voting a party out of government. And secondly, because it's premised on parties must be in government, create politics ransom. And that's what they've seen. That's what Sinn Féin has been practising for the past year, because they know a government can't be formed without them, and therefore they have created the politics of ransom with all their demands. So the only way that Stormont in its present form can be saved for the short term, if you want to use that term, is by the DUP paying the ransom. Short of that, it's quite clear it can't be, nor should it be, because the politics of ransom does not produce stable, good, lasting government.
Let me ask you this, Jim. If they had invited you into those talks, so Alliance, SJLP and the UUP now there with the Sinn Féin DUP, many argue that it still will make, they're still not really relevant enough to make any difference. But if they had extended that invite to you, what would your response have been?
Well, if the premise of the invite was, we're trying to see can we get enough sticky plaster to put together that which has failed in the past, then I wouldn't be interested. I'm certainly interested in bringing people to a realisation that this system will never work. If we want Stormont that will last, then it needs to be based on a coalition of the willing, that we must get away from mandatory coalition. And when that penny drops, then I'll be more than happy to talk to those interested in that type of politics. But I have no interest in trying to patch together the unworkable system of Stormont, which is an insult to democracy and which has lurched from perpetual crisis from one to the next, and will do so again, even if the DUP in the short term fills Sinn Féin's boots with concessions. It will collapse again because they haven't been rewarded once. They'll come back for more. Okay. Why wouldn't they, from their point of view? Remembering that they're not there to make Northern Ireland work.
Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party, good morning to you. And we also have Sinead Bradley from the SDLP. Kelly, the likes of the Alliance and the SDLP want to see an independent chair to these talks. Do you think there's any chance of that? And if so, who?
Well, if I said who, then it wouldn't be an independent chair. It would need to be an agreement.
No, but
person.
You might have a recommendation.
We may well have a recommendation, but as I say, if we said who, then the debate would be about the who as opposed to getting background to the table. As far as we're concerned, you know, we need to get this sorted out. What is more important? The people of Northern Ireland are fighting with each other. You know, it's time that we realise that we have a budget coming up that needs to be sorted out in the middle of February. And that budget will have an impact on every single citizen in Northern Ireland's life for the next year and more. It will mean difficulties for the health service, especially for schools, for infrastructure, for the whole range of things that we're involved in across all of our lives. And if we don't have a Northern Ireland government to get that sorted out, we will have someone else who will come in who won't know the nuances of this place. And we will be left with caretaker ministers that don't really, they're not really here and don't really know what they're up to. It is time for us to go back in again. We are all, the smaller parties are relevant because the other two have backed themselves into corners.
So what difference can the likes of your party actually make, Kelly?
Well, we have already provided And I know you've got Sinead on there from the SDLP.
Yes.
We have already provided, and SDLP have already provided papers on the petition of concern to reform that, so that we don't have the blockages to socially progressive activities that we need to have going forward in Northern Ireland. We've also produced a paper that my colleague Paula Bradshaw went out and interviewed all of the parties about with regards to languages, and it's Irish language, Ulster Scots and minority languages. So we are providing solutions. Now, I don't know exactly what the DUP and Sinn Féin have been talking about by themselves and behind closed doors for the past year, but they must have considered that. So there are ways that our parties can add an additional voice. We were voted in, after all, by people of Northern Ireland. I know the two big parties have the larger mandate, but I have a mandate too, and I have to represent the people who voted for the Alliance Party. And we have preferred those, put forward those solutions to those big parties. If they are so disingenuous that they don't look at those solutions or discuss those solutions, then where are we?
Sinead Bradley from the SDLP, tell me about Colin Eastwood on RT's Drive Time in terms of what he was referencing about the Irish Language Act. Under no circumstances can we all get what we want.
Well, good morning, Vinny. Firstly, I'd like to say that Colm Eastwood, you know, there tends to be a bit of a frenzy about this. Colm Eastwood was merely referring to what compromise means. When you go in on a position, you have to go in with a mind to say, how can you get what you want and allow the space and space for others to get what they are asking for also. That's a challenge. That's a tough challenge.
So, yeah, and I understand that. It's a very fair point to make. And obviously, when we have these red lines, which are polar opposite of each other quite often, you know, someone has to budge. But Sinead, that quite often is the problem, that parties don't want to budge because then they are seen as stepping down. So what would the SDLP, for example, on the likes of the Irish Language Act and equal marriage, where would you stand with that? Is that something that you think, look, that's fine, let it go?
Let's look at the situation we're facing. The SDLP, like Kelly pointed out, we all have a mandate. Some flex their muscles, that theirs is much bigger, and we can see what they've chosen to do with that over the past 12 months, much to the annoyance of many people in society. But if the Secretary of State is approaching us in good faith, which I have no reason to think she's not, inviting us in, saying, you know, the last year, you know, nobody needs to convince us how bad it was and how things are deteriorating fast in front of our eyes. We now have a short window, a much shorter window, to try and redress what has happened or hasn't happened over the last year. That in itself is a tall order. Now, if we're going in and we are genuine, and the SDLP are going in with a constructive mind to really take on this challenge and say, how can we pull this together? Because that is the only choice. Frustrated as all we may be, and talks are frustrating, there is no alternative
to
that.
Just to go back to that point, though, Sinead.
I just want to make my point. Yeah. If he is serious in that, the starting place has to be, what near agreement was made? We have not the privilege of time to go back over a year and ignore that point.
Just to go back, Sinead, sorry, just because we're a wee bit, as always, tight for time on this programme, would the SDLP see the Irish Language Act as something that could be compromised on, in their opinion, when it comes to this stalemate on a number of issues, but this one in particular?
Well, that's the point I'm trying to get to. There was a near deal. So those things no doubt have been discussed, I presume. When they talked about a near deal, I presume they were talking about their hot topics that were hitting the headline every day. Let that be our starting place. Let's not go into these last, and it probably is a last set of talks before the discussion moves to alternatives. Let's all embrace it. Let's see what compromises have been made and factor in all those suggestions that were made by SDLP and others, and find a way of making these institutions work. Because whether you want to jump into the camp of saying all's dead and over or whatever, we will always reach this point where we have to go back to talk.
Okay,
we have to talk and negotiate.
Okay. Sinead Bradley from the SDLP, thank you very much.